This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So you think comics are for kids. Comic books can be big money and a great investment vehicle. We're going to talk all about it. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking about investing in comics. So we're going to bring in Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics. And by the way, Metropolis is the world's largest dealer and auction house of vintage comics. They're based in New York. Stephen, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, and we're talking about investing in comic books. And so I guess the first place to start is the Golden Age. That period is from 1938 through 1956. These are the older titles. And really, comic books, superheroes, it all starts with Action Comics number one, published on April 18th, 1938, the first appearance of Superman. A lot of people have never had their hands on Action Comics number one. I'm sure you've probably had your hands on it, maybe even participated in this, some of those being sold. So let's just start there as we kick off the comic book discussion today. Golden Age, it all starts with Action Comics number one. Take it from there.
Yeah, you have to kind of realize that before Superman appeared in this book, there was no such thing in American culture or any culture of a superhero. So there was characters like, you know, the Shadow, Dick Tracy, and things like that, but the idea of a superpowered human who's able to fly, who comes from another planet. I mean, the kids who saw this book on the newsstands in 1938 had never seen anything like it. And it really touched a chord. I guess you were dealing with the end of the Depression, and people really responded to a character like this. And that created a tremendous boom in comic books and comic book characters, and it led to the creation of things like Batman and Captain America. So the Golden Age really was very steeped in the beginnings of comic book lore. There are very important characters created during this time, and collectors who really weren't even alive then know these characters very, very well, and they become very, very sought after. And the Golden Age led to things like EC Comics, horror, in, let's say, 1950, 51, 52. And comic book branched off into all different varieties. Love comics, horror comics, war comics, superhero comics. So they really produced a comic book sort of for everybody. And they have become very, very collectible, very, very sought after. They're not printing anymore. So the people who want, let's say, a Batman number one from 1940, first appearance of Catwoman, first appearance of Joker. There's a limited amount of original copies still in existence, and a lot of people who would love to own one, and that creates supply and demand. And that's how, you know, the Golden Age sort of has impacted the world of comic books. But after that, let's say in the 1950s, superheroes petered out, let's say in the late 1940s, and in 56 and 57 and 58 and 59 and 60, they started introducing a new wave of superheroes. There's a book called Showcase 4, which is the first appearance of the Silver Age Flash. So the audience in 1956 and on, they weren't collectors in the 1930s and 1940s. So a whole new wave of comic books got introduced to a new generation. So for them, there were things that, like Superman from 1938, the characters introduced in the late 50s and early 60s really struck the same chord. There was a book called The Beginning of the Silver Age, or the beginning, near the beginning. There was a book called Brave and the Bold 28, which is what they did to create the new Justice League of America. Martin Goodman over at what is Marvel or Atlas said, we need that. So he brought in Stan Lee and said, Stan, along with Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko, we want to get into the superhero business again. So they created, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby created Fantastic Four, and that created a new renaissance of superhero comics, which led to an onslaught in the 1960s, late 60s, of new characters. So you have, you name it, they were produced either by Marvel or DC in the 1960s. The first appearance of Iron Man from Tales of Suspense 39, first appearance of X-Men from X-Men 1, obviously first appearance of Thor, Journey into Mystery 83. So Marvel and DC really were sort of hitting their stride again in the 1960s and in the late 60s and early 70s, you know, the collecting as an investment. Collecting really became, of comic books, became quite intense and quite popular. And that's continued to this day. There are some collectibles, let's say, I'll give you an example, Beanie Babies. There was no real history. There's no depth of history of a Beanie Baby as an investment. So that comes along. People go crazy, but they have to realize, wait a minute, you know, what am I buying here? I'm buying a stuffed animal that costs 25 cents. There's no backstory. There's no 40-year history of Beanie Babies. With comic books, there is an established market. There is a 50 and 60-year history of these characters being bought and sold and collected and invested. So it creates what I would say a platform. It creates a basis so that somebody who wants to invest in rare comic books says, I'm not investing in something that's just popped up last week. So, and what I would say for people who want to invest in comics, what I always say is educate yourself. You know, don't hear about people buying and selling rare comic books and jump into it immediately. You probably take 6 months at least to sort of educate yourself about what is collectible, what is the conditions, the grades of the books, what is in demand, what is the material that's not in demand. And, you know, I remember a situation in 1983 where somebody paid $2,200 for a book called Amazing Fantasy 15. And obviously I've been in comic books at that point for a pretty long time, and $2,200 for the first appearance of Spider-Man from 1962 in high grade was astounding. And I remember, as a little funny story, I remember saying to a gentleman named Bob Overstreet, who writes the comic book price guide, I remember saying to him, and I think it was 83 or 84, that person who bought an Amazing Fantasy 15 for $2,200, a book that I thought was probably worth $800.
Right.
That person will never make their money back. Dinosaurs will come back to roam the earth before he makes any money on that book, because it was such an astounding price of $2,200 for the first Spider-Man. And we now fast forward to probably 2010. And I was buying a Fantasy 15 on high grade from a gentleman. He was from Texas, and he sent me the book. And I believe I was paying him $60,000 for this book, which I considered a pretty good deal. And after we had an agreement in price, I said, oh, you know, where did you originally get this book? And he said, oh, I bought this book from a dealer called Heroes on Hard to Find for $2,200.
Oh, so it was and that I exact went, book, huh?
It's I was on record of saying $2,200. And I was paying $60,000 for it. And I thought $2,200 was, you know, too much. But right now, today, that book, that copy, and I'd have to figure out exactly where it is, it's probably worth about $1.5 million. So you get a sense of the trajectory of vintage comic books. And why has this happened? It's happened, and this is obviously, I'm giving you an example of a very key, maybe the most key, most important Silver Age book, along with a few others. But the difference is that a lot of people have discovered collecting comic books. So if you look at a character such as Batman or Superman or X-Men or Spider-Man, there's large corporations whose livelihoods depend on that character being in the public eye forever. So you're never going to have a situation, at least in the next 100 years, where the world wakes up and goes, Spider-Man, I'm not familiar with what that is. Because there's a lot of people who have a vested interest in making sure that these characters become relevant.
That really is an excellent point with all of this is, and just going back to Superman, you know, that action number one, that led to a radio show. That led to my favorite Superman animation, Max Fleischer's Superman from the '40s. I love that still holds up really well today. That ended up leading to that TV show. Fast forward now, we got a movie coming out. And real quickly, I wanted to ask you, with all these movies coming out and this additional content, you know, beyond just the pages of the comic book, that just continues that story, that continues that interest. When, you know, we have Superman coming up this summer. Is that a key driver? And do you think that will also drive interest in Superman even further? Do you see boosts in prices when movies do really well and or video games or something else, you know, another platform becomes really popular? Do you see that translate to the value in comics as well?
Oh, absolutely. I remember way back in 1978 when the first Superman movie came out, and I went, all right, great. The technology, they were talking about doing movies of comic characters since like 74, because there's such a rich history. The problem was the technology did not really exist to put this on the screen in a convincing manner.
Right.
So when they first came out with Superman, I said, finally, it's a big budget superhero movie. The interest in Superman comic books soared at that point. When they came out with Batman in 89, Batman went through the roof.
I remember that.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Joker and Catwoman, the amount of people who are now, although, you know, people have been always familiar with, you know, Captain America and Superman and Batman, it just brings in more eyeballs, more awareness, And then people go, huh, you know, there's like a, there's a rich history. There's a deep history. Even if you're, you know, if you're a comic book fan reading Stan Lee and Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four, they're amazing books. You know, they're made for kids, but they are really, really well written. There's a lot of like social commentary. There's a lot to love in the 1960s in terms of there were artists who came into the world of comic books, people like Jim Steranko and Neil Adams and Bernie Wrightson that were masters of illustration. So you now have not just the stories being noteworthy, but you have real accomplished artists, and that propelled comic books even further. And that's what you have today. But it, anytime you have a Superman movie or any movie, unless it's a really bad movie, and God knows there's probably been a few of those. But every
yeah, more as of
well
late,
done,
we've heard about a little bit of superhero fatigue because they were just pumping so much stuff out. That's the one thing I've noticed as well is when you have these hits come out, the comics follow, the collectibles follow. And so I guess it's a no-brainer that, you know, you were speaking to Batman. I was coming out of high school then, very much into comics back then during the Batman movie. And it was a little darker, not as kitschy as the thing we had seen on TV 15 years earlier. It was a legitimate movie. And I just remember the interest, and even comics at large around that time really exploded. We had another kind of mini renaissance, and I think a lot of it had to do with that Batman movie coming out then.
Oh, absolutely. I remember, you know, it wasn't, when the Batman movie came out in 89, the interest in just, not just Batman, but Joker exploded. And the same thing happens where, let's say, you know, you have a Marvel movie and there would be a rumor ahead of time, and maybe a verified rumor, that there's a character that, well, let me give you an example. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, nothing was more obscure in the world of comic books than Guardians of the Galaxy. They stumble across it, they go, huh, there's something here for a movie. Not in a million years that I think that Guardians of the Galaxy was movie fodder, but they did it really well. So they took obscure characters and made them mainstream. Even a character like Iron Man, you know, you people go, oh, Iron Man and, you know, Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. And, well, you know, we know that. And we saw this movie and we saw when before they did Iron Man, it was way more obscure. Like in the background, it's one of the Marvel characters that people knew about, but it became very, very mainstream because the movie puts a stamp that says this is an important character.
Same thing you could probably say with like Daredevil, right? I mean, that we kind of same effect with Daredevil and some of these other ones as well.
Absolutely, and you know what is interesting about comic books is there's so many people in television and film and even offshoots of both of those that look at comic books and say, you know, there's a lot here. You know, there's a lot. So it's endless in terms of the depth. When you have all these writers and all these artists creating really quality work for 60 years, it's like an endless library to dip your toe into if you're a screenwriter or a producer. And they go, all right, we've seen, you know, a lot of war movies and they're kind of the same, but if we can tap into an established fan base for a given character like Wolverine, Wolverine is much more popular because of the movies. But there's an established fan base, and if they make a Wolverine movie, they just explode that existing fan base. That's what they like. They say, I'm going to put out a movie. I'm going to try to do it well. I know that there's a fan base and there's a lot of people who love the character, and the screenwriter and the actors and the producers go, I think I can take this to the next level. And that's a great thing. I look at movies as a way, almost like an advertisement for comic books. And I'll tell you one other sort of interesting note is back in, let's say, 2008 and 2009, when the economy was tanking because of the banking crisis and things of that nature, I went, this is interesting. Let's see the impact on collectibles. And somebody can come up and say, all right, well, maybe people are a little frightened and they don't want to spend money investing in collectibles, or the opposite.
Diversification is the key. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I know you have the answer for me, but, you know, a lot of this podcast is about trading and stocks and in all kinds of investing. Diversification is key. And I bet you comics did fairly well during that time because it was a completely different asset class. Am I right on that?
Absolutely. In fact, the first comic book that ever sold for $1 million was an Action one that we sold. I think the record price for a comic book before that was about $400,000. And it was mind-boggling that a comic book could bring $1 million. But it happened during that crisis. And I realized that, you know, people looked at stocks and they looked at bonds and even they looked at real estate. And they said, I'm a little bit out of control here. I can't really control stocks. I'm sort of a bystander in how this stock is going to do. But if I can hold an asset in my hand, like an Action Comics one, that book is probably a better bet. It probably has more stability. It is something that I can feel comfortable with because I'm in control. Because I own this book. You're not really in control. Buying Microsoft stock, an individual is not going to go, all right, now I'm in control of Microsoft. It's just not the case. But the banking crisis created a huge flood of money into comic books. And COVID, it happened with COVID, different reason, different situation. It was, people were staying home, as you probably heard. And they had all this money and nothing necessarily to do with their day. So comic books took a big jump there.
Okay, we'll be right back with Stephen Fischler, but we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesdays, and we'll be right back with Stephen after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
All right, we're back with Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics. You got to check them out. They're in New York. They're the world's largest dealer and auction house for vintage comics. You know, when you're looking at investing, you know, there's a couple key things. In fact, I was asking around to some of the Gaines listeners that are interested in this. And I came up with some basic questions. So the first thing, and you kind of spoke to this early on, is if you're interested in this, there's a lot of things that go into it. There's a lot of knowledge to attain. And I'm going to ask a couple questions here. But yeah, taking that time, or, you know, that first 3-6 months, maybe a year, to kind of watch the market, watch to go after things that you like. And, you know, I've jotted some questions here, and I thought this might be a good starter. And I think the first thing is investment grade. What makes a comic truly investment grade? So let's just start there real quickly. You know, investment grade, that's obviously very important if you're going to deploy cash to this. So let's just start there real quick, Stephen.
Well, you have to look at what you have to ask yourself, what is the book that I'm looking for? And then you get a sense of how many copies there are in high grade. Now, if you wanted, let's say, a book like Hulk 181, First Appearance of Wolverine from 1974, you would say, all right, I have an idea of what is considered high grade in that market. So it would be 9.4 or better, which is a near mint or better. 9.4, 9.6, 9.8, though, and even a 9.2 and even 9.0, all the high grades of that book are very sought after and very desirable. Somebody can't afford to spend $50,000 for a 9.8, so they'll go, you know what, I'm going to be really happy for $6,500 for the 9.4. But if you look at a case like a Superman 1 from 1939, very rare and high grade. So it in a Superman 1 situation, almost any copy is an investment grade, where you would not say that for a 1974 book. So you have to understand, is the rarity of a book kind of determines what is a desirable grade. So if you had any Action One, there's no version of Action One that you would go, ah, it's not in this particular grade, it's not desirable. You can have a bullet hole through an Action
for
One.
For sure. Anybody would take an Action Comics number one, even if it's completely ragged, you know, just to hold that piece of history. There's probably only, what, maybe 100 of those around left? I don't know. But
or something like that.
Yeah. So that's an important part. And, you know, going back to picking the kind of the titles that you want to invest in, before we even went on, we were talking about how Silver Age is kind of the sweet spot for investors, because there's a lot of comics that we're very familiar with, and there's, you know, they've gone up in price, but there's still things out there to, you know, there's only 100 plus people who own an Action Comic number one. But if you want to own, you know, a really good Brainiac's first appearance, or, you know, so a first appearance of Supergirl, you had mentioned that earlier, You know, they're out there. They're not quite as expensive as those older ones, and there's more copies available. So it's and these characters are more, you're more apt to be familiar with as well. So kind of touch on that, you know, why the Silver Age is kind of a sweet spot in a lot of ways, and how you choose what, you know, character or comic you might go after as well.
Well, you have to say, in Silver Age, what is the character and what is the price point? You have to be able to go, all right, this is a reasonable price point. For I'll give you an example of Fantastic Four 48, just to pick something off the top of my head. It's the first appearance of Galactus and Silver Surfer. Monumental book. Now, you can get copies. It's a very desirable book because you're talking about two very big Marvel characters appearing in the same book.
You even have some attractive titles that are even a little more recent. What do you call that age?
That's from like 60. That's right. Really, I would say the kickoff of what is called the Bronze Age.
Okay. Like Silver Surfer. Okay.
Yeah, 67 and on. Bronze Age would be like 67 to let's say 75 to pick a reasonable period. But you have to go, this is the first appearance of Silver Surfer, and I can get copies for anywhere from 400 to 20,000, depending on the grade. But I can get like decent looking copies for $1,500, like nice, you know, reasonably nice, solid copies. So you look at that and you go, how is that as an investment going to look in 10 years? The one thing that I have said for years is the following. Whether it's for Golden Age, whether it's for the Silver Age, and I'm talking about important books, nobody right. has ever gone, oh, I had a chance to buy an Action 1 or an Amazing Fantasy 15 or a Showcase 4. Nobody has ever gone, thank God, 15 years ago, I decided not to buy it. I'm so grateful.
Right.
No, they always go, oh, yeah, I remember it was $1,000 and that's all the money I had. And now the same book is 20,000 or 30,000. So people in the past have done very, very well buying these books and holding on to them. If they have a sense that what they're buying quality, is it an investment type character? Is it an important book? Nobody has ever regretted buying comic books and keeping them for a long period of time. There's people who, you know, buy comic books just to read them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who go, I want to buy some good books, put them away, and look at it in 20 years. And those are the people that will always do very well because they're not printing more. These books are very desirable. So when you have a combination of important historic books and a limited supply, it always ends up in the same exact place, which is they're more expensive. And then 5 years later, they're even more expensive than that. So that I would look at that perspective. You could take money and leave it in the form of money, or you can take that money in 2025 and decide, you know what, I don't want to keep it in the form of actual money. I'd rather buy some vintage comic books and leave it in that form. That's exactly what investing is. Do I leave it in the form of cash, or do I turn that into a coin? Do I turn that into a piece of art? Do I turn that into a comic book? Do I turn that into a baseball card? And that's what people should look at is, you know, is that choice that they're given, are they going to look at that choice in 20 years and go, thank God, you know, I diversified. That $20 or that $100 that I spent, right now it's probably worth $103. But the book that I bought for $100 is worth $250. You know, that's exactly the equation.
And you need a little time horizon. You know, for most of the times, it is acquiring these titles and holding on to them for a little bit. I mean, things, they do move, but, you know, having that 15, 20 years and strategically buying the books you want really can pan out well for you. You know, I wanted to use this Gaines podcast just to kind of get people's beaks wet, get a little interested in all of this. So, Stephen, I guess the big question for the Gaines listeners, and a lot of them are investors in other areas, how do you, you know, we talked about learning about this, getting up to speed. How do they go about doing that? What resources? I mean, obviously, you know, you got to check out comicconnect.com, but there's all kinds of resources. So somebody who's a newbie, Stephen, who wants to get into this and get serious about investing and getting some of the titles that we've talked about or titles that will do well in the future, how do they get started?
Well, in 2025, there's like an endless array of sources. Websites, you can go to comic book conventions in person. There's so many books that have been written about the history of comics. You just have to be able to say, all right, I'm going to take a few months. I'm going to ask my questions. I'm going to observe. I'm going to look at websites and resources such as that. And I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to educate myself. And hopefully, at the end of a few months, you're able to actually have a conversation and say, all right, I think I've begun to have a handle on the comic book market. I can actually have a conversation and sound relatively intelligent about what is a desirable book. What have they been selling for? I now have an idea of the condition. And after that point, then you can sort of dip your toe in the water and say, all right, I'm going to buy something. Probably I'm going to start out for the first time, and maybe down the road I'll look at that first purchase and go, why did I buy that for? Which is usually how it starts. That first purchase wasn't the most well thought out, but it leads to things, and you go, I'm going to put together an investment portfolio of Michael Jordan cards. I'm going to put together an investment portfolio of Neil Adams Batman covers. Whatever it is that interests you and you think is currently undervalued, you then begin the process of buying them. And while you're buying them is an education as well. You know, so the education never stops. It's just you don't want to start buying them because you heard about comic books being desirable last night. And then, and as I said, there's in 2025, there's an endless array of sources of information. Sometimes people call me up and with a book that is very well known, and I ask what they want for it or what do they value it. And they go, you know, I really don't know. I have no idea. And I said, you don't know. I said, there's an endless amount of sources of information about what you have. So you should feel like very confident in being able to go, I have this book. It's an Iron Man 1. It looks like it appears to be a 9.4. And it's probably worth $1,500. It's very easy to find out. It's not like the 1960s where you're really, you know, or 1970s where it was pure guesswork. There's so many sources of information, which is good. You know, it gives people a comfort level to say, I think I can educate myself here, as opposed to being in the dark. And when you're in the dark, you don't want to buy anything.
Is there a standard price guide? You know, Beckett's, I think, was big for like baseball cards for a lot of times. Is there like a standard where, you know, pretty much as accurate as for as all the pricings on a lot of these books?
I would say since 1971, they put out the Overstreet comic book price guide, Bob Overstreet. And so go to a bookstore, order one of those. It's a warehouse of information. It's really, really good. So it may not be, you know, everything, and it may not be perfectly accurate, but it's a great educational tool. You can order it online. You can go to, you know, Barnes & Noble.
And at least you have a ballpark of what you're looking at. You have some kind of guidelines to the value of what's hot and what's not.
Right, exactly. People should go, I'm interested in comic books. Do I have information out there to educate myself? And the answer I would give them is absolutely. Tons of information.
And then as far as there's so many characters to choose from, even as an investor, do you choose your favorites and kind of focus on that? Or, you know, you can go on the internet and they'll give you the top 100 titles you need to invest in from the Silver Age, the top 50 titles you need to invest in from the Bronze Age. There's so many characters, so much out there. How do you choose a lane?
Well, and sometimes it's not even character based. If you look at 1950s horror, EC Comics, and there's these other publishers that put out amazing horror books from, let's say, 49 to 55. Those are, you know, horror books. They're not character based. So a lot of people go, they're right in the ballpark of, you know, at a price that everybody could afford. They're incredibly desirable. They're incredibly graphic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just want to jump here on that. Mm-hmm. Like the horror stuff, you want to talk about graphic. They let them draw anything on some of these comic books. In fact, a lot of them, it seems from looking at them, are actually made for adults at that time.
In 1955, they came up with the comics code, and they basically had Senate hearings and said, these are not for kids, and they're going to give kids nightmares. So EC Comics was effectively ripped out of the comic book market and said, you cannot publish anymore because the politicians felt that this was not suitable for kids.
Didn't somebody write a book at that time about, oh, the dangers that we're corrupting our kids? And that kind of led to that change. So that's interesting how, because,
it was called Seduction of the Innocent.
Yes.
The Seduction. That was the book by Frederick Wortham. And but it created, the legendary comic book artists were creating EC Comics, like Wally Wood, Al Williamson, Frank Frazetta, Jack Davis. They put out amazing books. But, you know, so sometimes it's not just character based, it's publisher based. So this way, even love comic books from the 1950s were printed in relatively small numbers, very desirable, photographic covers. So there's, as you indicated, there's so many lanes.
Western genre was big too around that time, I would imagine. Western genre, and then they also go, like, I'm thinking the 50s. They went super sci-fi too, right?
They did Adam Strange, Mystery in Space. It splintered in the 50s. It splintered into Western and war and love and humor. But starting with 56, when they put out The Flash and Showcase 4, that's when the superheroes came roaring back. And that began the creation of there's a book called Flash of Two Worlds. That book was one of the most important books ever published, certainly one of the most important comic books ever published. But if you look at all the movies now, and Earth One and Multiverse and the different realities and the Spider-Man of this Earth and the Spider-Man of this, it all began with that book. It's the first time.
Oh, it's because Flash could understand. Was it so Flash? Well, first of all, didn't Flash look totally different? He ditched the silver helmet that they had in like the 40s. And then didn't that explain where these characters came from? And it was more sci-fi than, you know, just straight up, oh, they're here. And,
The multiverse began with that book.
Very interesting.
And they basically said, we've got all these characters. Julie Schwartz and Carmen Infantino said, we've got all these golden age characters that we used to publish, and we stopped publishing them. We need to find a creative way to bring them back. And so they had Flash doing a charity event, and he vibrated in such a way that he ended up magically on a different version of Earth. And he goes, where am I? And he says, Keystone City. How can I be in Keystone City? I read about Keystone City when I was a child. This can't be. And he looks up in a phone book in Flash of Two Worlds, Jay Garrick. He said, that kid, Jay Garrick's a fictional character. He can't be real. And he meets Jay Garrick. And so that's, and they basically describe that these, the Golden Age was one version of Earth, and there's a parallel world called that's another version of Earth where the Silver Age characters are. And so that led to every superhero movie has been using what they call, you know, Earth 1, Earth 2, parallel worlds, multiverse, you know, it's different. Everybody has a different name for it.
It's so almost a Rick and Morty. It's almost a Rick and Morty concept, but they were thinking about that in the 50s.
Yeah, this is 1961.
61.
And that book led to bringing back Captain America. It led to the creation of Fantastic Four, bringing back Human Torch, bringing back Submariner. So everything started, you know, that publication of Flash of Two Worlds really lit a fire into the comic book market.
How much is that book worth?
It probably anywhere from $500 to $20,000, $25,000, something like that, depending on the grade.
Wow.
And it's incredibly important. And it's important in every superhero movie you see today. Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and even the future movies. That the publication of that book really changed things.
And obviously, those are the kind, I mean, the significant historic pieces, they generally do the best. But, you know, there's still other opportunities that are out there that are even a little more affordable that you can start digging your hands into. Explain.
Oh, the comic books, it's every price point. You can buy early Silver Age Marvel for as low as $50 a book. You know, early Fantastic Four, early appearances of Thor, early X-Men, the lower grade. But there's a price point for everybody. You can actually buy 1970s Marvels for $5, $10, $20. And these are very important books. See, they're 1970s. When it was 1980, those books really were kind of overlooked, really not thought of as an investment. But then the 90s happened, and the 2000s, and the 2010s. Now they become 40 years old. So it really gave people a different perspective of that, of books from the 1970s. And they're incredibly desirable. You know, but so books from 1990s, well, that seems kind of recent. But when 2040 comes around, books from the 1990s will be 50 years old.
And then, you know, certain ones still doing it. And I'm thinking of the Turtles. That's mm-hmm. much more modern. But try to get a hold of, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number one. You know, in fact, I thought, if I'm not mistaken, we talked a gazillion years ago about, I think that, were you actually given maybe one of the complimentary copies of that back then?
I was set up, I was set up at a show, and they were across from me. And I'm going, and it probably was like a Sunday at the convention. And this is probably like 1984. And I looked at it. I didn't even notice this table across from me. And I walk over, and Eastman and Laird are there, and they published this book called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a ripoff of Frank Miller's Ronin. And I went, oh my God, these guys are not going to make anything out of this. And they gave me, you know, they were talking up their book, and they gave me one of the first, you know, one of the number ones. That they, hey, why don't you take one? Oh, I thank you. I appreciate that. But I walked away going, there's no way that this is going to take off. And there's a lot of books that have been published that, you know, oddly, or not oddly, never really took off. But I would have, not in a million years would I think that Turtles would become the phenomenon that it's to come. So, you know, what do I know? But I remember way back, it was just these two guys with an idea for a book called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Even the title was just beyond ridiculous. And it was a ripoff of somebody else's book. So, you know, you can buy books and put them away and then realize that they become significant in 20 years. And not in a million years would you have expected that.
You know, we covered a lot of ground here. Stephen, what's the final takeaway and the number one piece of advice for the Gaines listener?
Well, I would say that if you're interested in investing, and a lot of people are, and if you're interested in investing in comic books, and a lot of people are, educate yourself, get to know the terminology, get to know the marketplace, and it's kind of fun and it's kind of interesting. There are things that you can invest money into that are really very dry and very boring. Comic books are not like that. So it's
a little more interesting than bonds, right? A little more interesting than your standard corporate bonds.
Right. Nobody goes home and goes, oh my God, I just got this bond. I'm so excited. Nobody has said ever. So comic books are kind of cool.
Give us your number one resource that you would send somebody to. You talked about the Overstreet. That's a must. The Overstreet Guide for anybody who's just getting into this. I imagine.
I would go to Comic Connect, yeah. ComicConnect.com, Metropolis Comics. .com and buy yourself an Overstreet price guide. Between those three, it's a great start.
All right, big
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Thanks to Stephen Fischler, CEO of ComicConnect.com and Metropolis Comics. By the way, Metropolis is the world's largest dealer and auction house for vintage comic books, and they are in New York. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a Gaines episode drops. We drop Gaines episodes on Wednesdays, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.